right, welcome to the show. Anthony is here. Hello, Anthony.
Here I am.
Here you are, and sounding as excited as usual.
I'm using this monotone. It's sort of a baseline.
You know, that's what they usually tell you in broadcasting school. If you really want to pierce that medium, you really want to grab and engage people, speak in a monotone.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's right up. You obviously top of the class.
Top of the class. And you know what? Surprisingly enough, I never went to school for any of this. I'm just kind of figuring it out as I go along. So it's nice to have you as a teacher in real time. Thank you.
You're very early on the journey, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's okay. I got a long life ahead of me. People are living longer these days.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's a great thing. I mean, it's great for people we know who live longer.
Yeah.
But in general, as people get older, their healthcare costs increase and they become a bigger strain on the system. And when you've got more old people taking from the system than young people putting into the system, you got a situation which is not great.
Back in 2006 or 2007, when I was still at university, shout out to Queens. I remember I had an econ professor that was predicting this, that the pension fund in Canada was going to topple in the wrong direction and it was going to become untenable economically. So it's funny that you're mentioning that. I'm still hearing that. I think that my generation or our generation, I don't know if it couldn't be our generation. We're at least 16 years apart, I think. But anyway,
I'm in a different generation than you.
You're a different generation, I would assume. So I would think that people of my generation have generally gone a little bit more wacky with the health and the exercise and all kinds of stuff like that. So maybe we'll be like, a bunch of hot Santas, you know, hipster old people who still have great bodies and still do that kind of, you know, they can work a lot longer and they'll be healthier in the long term. So they won't be as much of a strain on the healthcare system into their 60s and 70s.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. The problem is now.
Oh,
not
right
when
now.
You guys get to be in your 70s. It's now.
Well, I'm
now, about, why right. do you think the government pushes people to RRSPs? They do it because they recognize that the pension system is not going to be sufficient if it even exists when some people get of age. And so they're encouraging people through tax shelters and shit like that, basically, which is an RRSP. They're encouraging people to save their own money and let it build up and build up so that they don't have to rely on the government, because the government ain't going to be there.
I guess that's good and bad. I don't know.
How is it good? I mean, it's good that the government foresaw this a couple decades ago and instituted RRSPs and things like that. But, you know, I don't think anybody ever was able to live on Canada old age pension. The only thing Canada old age pension did, if you were living on it, was make you wish that you were dead.
Oh, no. Quality of life was not the greatest.
Yeah.
That's why you see like some people that are like in their 70s and their 80s and they're, you know, driving some fucking 20-year-old base Cavalier or something like that. And you're like, man, I hope that that's not what my retirement looks like. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever retire. I mean, I think we'll just grow our business to the point where we can install like a management system and then just kind of sit back and let it ride.
That's kind of retiring.
I guess it's kind of retiring, but is it? Because it's not like in the true sense of like retirement. It's like we'd have a business that's operating that I guess we still have to kind of show up for once in a while and point in a direction to make sure people are.
That's retirement.
Yeah, that sounds awesome to me. And that way the machine keeps moving and we can, you know, reliably have an income.
Well, you got into the right business because people are always going to have hair that needs to be cut and colored.
Never stops growing.
Yeah.
It's so funny. We said to each other, haha, we've figured out a business that's completely recession proof. We glazed over pandemic because you don't.
Well, you know, that wasn't something that people generally prepared for.
Generally not. No, but I think.
But just think of all the people that are dying I just read something I shouldn't have read. But think about all those people whose hair needs to be cut when they're allowed to be cut.
Oh my God. That's going to be when the levee breaks. Holy shit. Is it ever going to be? Cause we're even talking about right now. I mean, sadly there's some salons that are obviously not surviving through the pandemic, which is awful for those people. But for us, it's kind of an opportunity to expand our operation. Because if we can find a turnkey in another similar neighborhood, then we'll just change the sign, change the you know, make some cosmetic upgrades. And then now all of a sudden we have two Chromas and they're operating. So it's that's kind of our goal if we make it through this.
The good thing your wife is talented.
Yeah. I just come up with the ideas and then hopefully she implements them. That's kind of our balance.
Well, it's a good thing that she's talented, because otherwise you'd just be coming up with ideas and there'd be no one there to fulfill them.
There'd be a wall for the shit to stick to, but that's about it.
All right. So, sorry, my throat's a bit raunched out.
Grape juice.
I got some here. If you're wondering about Indiegogo, still no word.
That's bullshit, man. Why still, are they dragging their heels?
It's been 20 days, roughly, since they first sent me the notice that they're doing an investigation. It has been 17 days since the Indiegogo finished. Still no release of funds.
Oh my God.
No answer yet about this investigation. I have no idea what they're investigating. The longer it takes, the worse I feel about the whole thing.
Of course. You must be fucking pretty upset. I'd be pretty upset.
If they would at least have a proper means of communication back and forth.
Sure.
But they hide behind this wall and you can never get any satisfactory answers from them.
Like no emails back since you inquired.
Nothing? I inquired through their contact thing, and I put in a ticket, that's what they call it, and someone got back to me and said, yeah, you're right, they're investigating you. And that was it. And then nothing. And I sent another one in today, and we'll see what comes of that. I just want, I'm concerned that they're going to just, without any real explanation or evidence or reason, they're going to just invalidate the whole thing. And then where am I trying to build this thing?
It still doesn't seem to me like it's in their best interest, though. I mean, they're going to lose out on the 5% or whatever that they're going to charge.
Yeah, but if they think there's some kind of perfidy going on, then I don't understand. There really should be some means of a direct communication as opposed to this
nonsense.
Should
speak to someone who's holding, like if there's a case number, you can talk to somebody and reliably talk to them again.
Yeah, I have the case number, but there's no one to talk to. I mean, this is a load of bullshit. This is what's wrong with today's tech giants. They're answerable to nobody. They control a huge portion of elements to do with your life. You have no recourse whatsoever when they decide that you violated terms of service or something. You have no recourse. There is no appeal process. If there is, it's just send an email to a faceless person who then just tells you no. They have such power over our lives. And unlike government, who we can vote out every 4 years if they're not doing what we want, nobody elected these guys who are running these big tech companies, the Facebooks, the Twitters, and things like that.
And they've become as big as the governmental organizations. Their income or their grosses are sometimes bigger than the GDP of some smaller countries. And the internet has essentially become a utility.
Yeah. And can you imagine if somebody decided they were going to cut off your water or your hydro
and there was no
one to call, no place to plead your case, no place to even hear the real reasons why and then respond to it. Somebody just decided they're going to cut off your water, or cut off your power. That's what this is like nowadays. And Indiegogo's no different. They're a tech company that, I mean, I remember, I'm old enough, Anthony, to remember in the days when companies had telephone numbers, you could call to get some service to deal with this stuff. Now, now you can look and look and look. You will not find a phone number for a company.
And if you do find a phone number, what they do is they say, please go to our website. And most of the time now, I'm noticing this more and more, is that the voice, the computer, whoever is talking at you on the other end of the line will just end up hanging up on you. Like, it'll just bump you. Like, nope, email us.
So that's what happened when I called the phone number I found for Indiegogo. It said, if you have any concerns, please contact our website. Click.
It's just become harder and harder to get through to an actual human being. And that's the problem, is when you actually, and then when you do talk to a human being, they seem like they've been brainwashed to behave like a computer because they don't have any answers for you. And if you want to speak to a manager, that's a process, if you can even get that far.
Well, because you're talking to somebody in Indonesia who's got a script in front of them and they don't deviate from the script because they're not authorized to.
Yeah.
And
is there somebody behind them holding a rifle saying, nope, read this?
Well, no, these are great jobs for them in the context of their economy. They're not going to screw it up for you.
Here's a little hack I found that if you want, I think this applies specifically to Bell and or Rogers. Anybody out there in the audience who's having trouble with that, who might be from Canada around here. What you do is you opt in when you call and you want to speak to a human being and you don't want to speak to someone who has no idea who you are. That's say in Indonesia or somewhere where there's no real whatever, you just go for the French, hit the French button, because you say English or French, you go French, and then you'll get somebody in Quebec because the call center's in Quebec, and 9 times out of 10 they're bilingual, and then that way at least it's somebody in Canada that you can speak with who might have a little bit more of a shred of humanity to try and help you out or give you a better discount or something like that. So that's just a little thing that I learned from doing that.
I tend to find when I call companies like Bell, I tend to find them actually are in Canada. I mean, they've shown a lot of latitude when I've dealt with them, but you know, it's when you call places. What was there? There was a company in Winnipeg that did calls. It was a call center for all over and for the States. And when someone from the States would ask where they were, they'd say they were in their North Fargo office, because Dakota is near Manitoba.
Did you ever watch any of that Fargo?
No, I never even watched the movie.
Good. But apparently people are like, it's the greatest thing ever. You wouldn't believe it. Frances McDormand. I don't know. Frances McDormand, I could take or leave. I find her to be off-putting. You know,
I find her always in stuff that's sad and depressing.
Yeah, like the last one I saw her in was called Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which
is a
fairly convoluted title. But good Lord, talk about a fucking depressing movie that was.
Yeah, every movie she's in is sad. Like, it's like she's like shorthand for, hey, you want to watch this movie? Oh, Frances McDormand's in it. No, I don't want to watch this movie because it is going to be sad all the way through to a very sad ending. There's never any revival at the end or any hope. It's always misery. And you know what? If I want misery, I can just watch the news. I don't have to spend my time watching a fake story or an adapted from truth story. I can just watch 5 minutes of the news.
Horrifying. And I don't think that I'm going to become any more aware of the fact that, you know, child rape exists. It's like, do I need to be walked through it? This is awful. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's, and she, listen, she's the leading lady of sadness.
Synonymous with depressive, something or another. What will be
she's a good actress.
Oh, great. There's no denying that.
Everything she's in is sad and shit.
Except for she was in a couple mockumentaries, wasn't she? A couple of Rob Reiner style mockumentaries. Like, was she?
I don't know. I don't think she was in any of Rob Reiner stuff.
Who made
and if she was, she would have been a cameo, would have been brief. When she plays a main character, you know, get out the hankies. And not because the same reason for your, you know, when you're watching porn, a different kind of hanky.
If you use a hanky,
turned on by depressing stuff, and hey, who am I to judge?
You know what's really hot about Fargo? All the misery.
Yeah, that really gets me. Oh. speaking about judging, let's take a moment to judge your newest athletic purchase.
Oh, really? Okay. So we're going to change topic here. This is fun, everybody. I went ahead because there was a really good deal on Amazon. I went ahead and got myself, wait for it, a water rower. Yes, a water rower.
And explain what this is, because this doesn't actually go in the water.
It's not what it is essentially it's a rowing machine. Like you'd see, it's like sort of a cardiovascular full body exercise type thing. It sits on the floor and there's a seat with a railing that slides back and forth and you pull on it like a rowing machine. But the difference is that the resistance comes from sort of a propeller that's inside of a big plastic tank that you fill with water. So every time you pull it, it makes this whooshing sound that makes you feel like you're actually rowing on a lake or wherever. And it's beautiful. It's made out of, I think.
How much more was this than a regular rowing machine?
This one I got a really good deal on. I mean, they're not all created equally, but it wasn't crazy expensive. Like this one, I think, is like the made in China kind of knockoff of the fancy one. So I don't expect it to last super long, but it's still, again,
so you got a really, so you didn't get a really great deal.
I got a really good deal in the sense that it was about $300 or $400. It was like this one day sale. It was like $400 off. So normally it would
$400 off. What did the thing cost in total?
So normally they're around $1,300.
Oh,
and this one, I think tax in was like $900. Oh, and I've been looking at it for a lot. It's still cheaper than a year membership at a gym. And I've been looking
You can buy a rowing machine for $100.
Well, not this kind. This one is like
furniture. This one has audio. It has sound effects.
It does. It's a real, exactly, which makes the process of it so much more relaxing.
You are such a sucker.
What? I don't think so, man. I don't think so, man. I know people who spend fortunes, like Peloton, like that thing's like $5,000. Those people are suckers, especially the one that just came out. And also the other thing about a rowing machine is that it's low impact, so it's not going to hurt your joints. If you run on a treadmill, that's constant pounding on your joints. So over time, you're going to get all fucked up in the knees and the hips and the ankles and stuff like that. Whereas this, being a fluid motion and low impact, is you can use it for years and years. I got a buddy whose dad bought a rowing machine in the 70s, and I think he's in his 70s now, or almost, and he still uses it every, like, couple of times, 2-3 times a week. And it's the one that he bought like 30-40 years ago. It still works. So if I, you know, as long as I take care of this one and don't bang it around too much, then and make sure the bolts are tight, then I think I could probably do the same. And that's a pretty good value proposition over the course of, you know, 20 or 30 years, not to mention the fact that I can work out from home. I don't need to leave my house. It looks good. It's not like an ugly sort of obelisk type piece of shit fucking thing you see most home equipment looks like. And fuck you, I wanted it. So there we go.
I'm looking here at a general cross section, and you can get rowing machines as low as $250.
Yeah.
You can get them at around the $1,200, $1,300 range. You can get in between that, anything in between that. And then there's the Frequency Fitness 2 Plus water rower, which is $1,900, and also you can get sound effects of water. Couldn't you just go like make noises with your mouth, like the guy from Police Academy? Couldn't you just make noises that approximated water, or get a bowl of water and like have it knock every time your hand goes back? It jostles this bowl of water.
It's a very specific whooshing sound. It sounds like waves on a lake hitting the shore, like whoosh. Like something you would use for meditation, or if you needed to fall asleep. It's very relaxing and soothing. And plus, it's an exercise that I actually enjoy doing. The only thing I will say, just to be fair, is that it is a pain in the ass in the sense that it's very heavy to move around, but it does have wheels on it. And you can, in order to change the resistance, like the one thing that it doesn't have over most rowing machines is that most rowing machines, if they're belt driven with a fan, you have a knob, and then you just increase the intensity by turning the knob, or decrease it by turning the knob in the other direction. Whereas this, if I want to increase the intensity, I either have to increase the intensity of my workout, or I have to add or remove water from it. And adding and removing water from it is kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, you know what? The thing is that your machine has a knob with it too.
That's right. I take that with me everywhere I go. But
What's next? Are you going to be buying gravity boots?
What are gravity? Oh, those like hang upside down, like
hang
a bat?
Upside down. Yeah.
No, I remember I saw.
What if there's a great deal on Amazon? What if there's you can save hundreds of dollars? Would you go and buy them because there's a great deal on Amazon?
Look, I took my time. I've wanted one of these for a while, and things aren't reopening. And I think it's important to stay in good shape. And this is a good way to do it. It's like a 60 or 70% body workout. So I can basically, I don't have to worry about buying dumbbells. I can keep my resistance bands, and I have my water rower. It's good cardio. You get a good sweat. You work out your back, your arms, your legs all in one go. And it sounds nice, and it looks good. And it was like, there are some water rowers out there that are like $8,000-$9,000. Like, this isn't in the realm of outrageousness. Like, I'm just telling you,
there's ones that are more expensive doesn't mean you didn't waste money to get one so you can get a sound effect of water. Look, why don't you just put one of those meditation tapes into your earbuds?
It's not a sound effect. It is water. That's the thing. It is water.
It makes well, no. You could have the same effect with one of those meditation tapes for meditation thing. Just download it. Sound of the ocean.
Yeah, maybe that would be okay. I could have done that, but look, it's a beautiful. It's also kind of like a beautiful piece of furniture. You see it. It's like a
piece of furniture.
It's a beautiful piece of furniture.
Do you ever sit on it and watch TV? Sit on it for eat dinner.
I sit on it when I use it. Look, the only way it's going to be
furniture.
The only way it's going to be a waste of money is if I give up and stop using it. That's the only way it can be a waste of money. Otherwise, if I use it, like I've got it, 2 days ago, I put it together. I've used it every day. I'm 100% except for today. That's 3 days. I'm 66% effective on that thing right now, but I'll probably do it after I get off here. The only problem is that I got some blisters because we were gardening yesterday. So I'm not super into the idea of pulling on the handles right now, just because.
Yeah, you're one rugged dude, some gardening and you got blisters.
Well, I don't use my hands to work very often. I cut my left hand. It's funny. Normally I have all my blisters are on my right hand, but in this case they were on my left hand just because I normally just use my right hand. If you know what I mean.
Got to use lotion. what else are we going to talk about today? I know there was some stuff. I'm sort of out of sorts.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've just come to realize again by reading the internet there is nothing but ignorance out there. And the problem is the ignorant don't know enough to know they're ignorant. And of course, they speak as if they know something and they speak basically from their feels.
Right.
And from their think of the children kind of thing.
Where'd you get that one? The feels?
The feels.
That doesn't sound like you.
Why not? It's a term.
It sounds like something my 25-year-old receptionist would say. The feels.
Maybe I've been talking
out of character for...
So it's all about their feels. It's all about, you know, their view of the world is so black and white. No space for there to be
a nuance,
context. Ever since Donald Trump did that stupid thing where
polarization.
Where he said there is good people on both sides. Yeah, now, anytime you bring up that there actually is that both sides have a point. They say, Trump, both sides are good people. No, not like that. Like the fact is, most things in life, there are two sides to it. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. This is not the same as saying that protesters against racism are the same as racists. It's not the same thing. But anytime you try to say that there's try to be a balance there, they claim that... you're just like Trump. It's like, no, the fact is most things in life are not black or white. Most things, there are shades of gray. Most things, both sides have things they could do better and have done wrong and things that they have done well and did properly. You know, this is just the way of the world and everybody just, same side, equal. It's all just stupid. I can't stand the lack of sophistication going on in discourse these days.
Well, I mean, if you want to find, if you want to go to the epicenter of the lack of sophistication or nuance, then the internet's your best bet. I mean, the internet is just one gigantic Mos Eisley spaceport. If you really think about it, it is scum and villainy and everything's unchecked and everybody has a source and everybody can find, quote, their truth. When, as far as I think we understand, there is objective truth. There is the truth of a situation. And then there is an experience of that. But do you think this is something I heard? I think maybe it was on maybe Joe Rogan was saying it or something like that, who's a controversial figure because he purports to be liberal.
Well,
he's a
douchebag.
Do you think he's a douchebag?
I think he's a giant douchebag.
You listen to his podcast?
I tried. I can't get past the douching.
Like he's just too much of a bro for you?
Oh, yeah. And he thinks too much of himself. And he thinks that because he's famous, that also means that he's properly informed and knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And those two things do not go hand in hand. Often they are of completely different paths.
He's certainly very influential. Now, I've listened to his podcast for a while, and I think that at first I found it very difficult to listen to him because Jada said the same thing, that when he's interviewing somebody, he just keeps interrupting them. But if you give it, I gave it a little bit more time, and I do find that he's probably one of the most like center kind of, like he gives both sides, and I'm sorry this both sides thing might trigger something, but he brings people on that are experts and to talk about and to pick their brain and to talk. And
yeah, then he also says things like Canada's lockdown rules are like the Gestapo because somebody, they heard somebody caught a cold somewhere. Like he says stupid things like that. His comments about the pandemic have been dangerous because he is so influential and influential very much amongst the kind of buttheads that are like, oh, I'm macho. I don't need to wear a mask. No virus is going to take me down. No one's going to stop my freedom to walk around the way I want. And like the same swaggering idiots listen to him.
I haven't heard him. I mean, one way or the other, like I do find that most of the stuff that's on there is like, yeah, some of it, the UFC shit, I don't really care about. And like, should you take vitamin D and not wear a mask? I don't think that that's a good idea, but he doesn't like explicitly say don't wear a mask. Like he's not like pro, he's not an anti-masker. Like he's a pretty liberal dude. Like he even himself says he's like more left than right. And
I don't know, a douche bag.
Okay,
let's look anyways, up here. Joe Rogan anti-mask comments. Don't ask what I'm typing with, by the way. he's anti-vax. He spoke out anti-vax.
I don't know about that. That doesn't sound right.
He did.
I've never heard him once say that he's anti-vaccine.
He made anti-vax comments, and then he walked them back when everyone beat up on him.
Okay, so he clarifies.
Clarifies. So I love that. By clarifying, I mean I'm going to say the exact opposite of what I said before.
Yeah, but if you listen
to clarify,
if you listen to his podcast, it's kind of the same thing we're doing in a sense where we're just kind of stream of consciousness. And if anybody ever held us to task for something that we said out of context, it would probably receive the same thing. Like, no. People, like we said, people don't pay attention to nuance. They just go us versus them. If you take a clip of something out of context of somebody saying something, of course it'll be controversial or look a certain way.
He said that healthy young people shouldn't get the vaccine.
Rogan, back, the young and healthy do not need vaccines. Even if you don't have any symptoms, you're propagating the doubt to Fauci. Okay, well, whatever. Nobody's perfect. Like we said, nuance. But overall, I guess
there's no nuance there. That was pretty blunt and pretty stupid. Carried away.
He gets carried away and he can say stupid shit. And I'm pretty sure he's been open about admitting that. Like, and also he kind of scales it back saying like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, I'm just saying shit. So it's like, if I say shit and people take it the wrong way, then this is a comedy, because the universal disclaimer of this is a comedy podcast. I'm a comedian and I don't know anything. So don't listen to me.
Yeah. That's the biggest, like the when people like Alex Jones get sued. And people like Tucker Carlson.
Entertainment purposes only. It's like, there's a responsibility.
The defense is that, like with Tucker Carlson, who's on a channel called Fox News. News is in there. The defense by Fox was that no reasonable person would believe that what Tucker Carlson is saying is factual. But you have him on a primetime spot on a news channel.
Well, so they're tacitly admitting that nothing on their news channel could be taken as factual.
This is the way they get out of being responsible for the nonsense that spills out of their upper asshole.
I mean, it's all infotainment at this part. It's so hard these days to parse out the truth, especially from even the major, like the mainstream media news sources. I mean, everybody has got a bent and it's really, really hard to find where the facts are. And people are too lazy to do that themselves. So they just tribe up. Like, it seems to me that most of the stuff on the internet now has sort of exacerbated the fact that people are kind of devolving into tribalism, and it's a you versus me, us versus them mentality. And ultimately nobody's really willing to listen to anybody else, especially if they're politically divided, because they just think that whatever information they're using is inherently biased and they can't possibly be using a clean source. And that just makes things crazy for everyone. Like, how can you communicate with somebody if their source of information you fundamentally distrust? And how do you find how do you reach across the aisle, so to speak, to kind of say, okay, well, I see where you're coming from. Now here's what I think. And maybe how can we compromise on our beliefs to try to come up with some sort of agreeable solution to our problem here, whatever it might be, or our debate? Like, it's just about winning. It's just about I'm right, you're wrong. Like, people aren't interested in coming together. And that's what I think is most problematic, especially online, because you can be anonymous about it. And would you ever like the way that you see people speak to each other online, would you ever speak to somebody like that if you were face to face with them? That kind of language?
Well, I would, but I know most people would not.
Like, it's just so strange because since I'm not on social media, so I don't really get up involved in that kind of stuff. And so I don't see how bad it's gotten, but I hear about it all the time. It's like people have to turn off comments and they just can't handle like talking because they're getting bullied off the internet or whatever. And it's just trolls and all this stuff. That's not part of my daily goings on anymore. But I know for a fact that generally when I'm talking to people in my neighborhood or wherever, it's always friendly. Like it's strange to me that this kind of hatred and all this kind of stuff exists anonymously in the internet, because when you go around and you live your life like a normal person without all that social media shit, it's kind of a nice place to be. It creates a lot more peace of mind. So I'd recommend it to anybody if they're overwhelmed or depressed or aggravated or anything by social media. There's always the option of just turning it the fuck off and going and doing something else and living a little bit more quietly and simply. Like, it's not a bad thing. You're not going to miss out on anything. Trust me.
Yeah. The reason that you can get along with people in person is because when you're passing people in person, you know, in passing, you're hello, how are you? Just small talk and stuff. Politics, for example, doesn't come up out of the blue. And there's a reason that people say in mixed company, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, because those are divisive topics and people rarely have the emotional maturity to be able to disagree with each other and not hate each other.
Right.
And so, I mean, human interaction is always better than this bravery that people get sitting behind the keyboard, one hand on their rod, the other hand typing away, trying to show how brave and bold they are. One, I had a disagreement with somebody on Twitter, and he asked me for proof of what I was saying. So I provided him with an article from a respected newspaper, a very respected newspaper. Mm-hmm. He counters with a book review of a book on Goodreads.
Oh boy. So this is not equal footing here.
And then he just says, ha ha, that article is from a right wing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it was from the Washington Post. The Washington Post who brought down Nixon, you know, that Washington Post.
That one.
as opposed to this book review of a book that is some one person's opinion. Like, that's not evidence. But he considers them to be the same because he wants them to be the same, because I had better evidence than him.
Do you think that people today are spending less time considering their sources and just looking for confirmation of whatever it is they're trying to argue? I remember.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening. Can tell you're not much on social media, because that's exactly what social media is all about. Find me stuff that tells me I'm already smart by finding stuff that agrees with what I already thought. Don't find anything that challenges me or challenges my opinions or my thinking. Don't do that, because that's uncomfortable. You know, it's like getting a rectal exam. That's uncomfortable, and I don't want that. So find me things that feel like a nice warm hug for my mind.
They call it confirmation bias, right? Because
confirmation bias.
Ultimately, what's happening is people are just getting dopamine hits. It's a form of addiction. People are getting dopamine hits from feeling like they've bested the person that they're talking to, or that they're smarter, or that they've won. That's the hit, right? It's not necessarily about changing the world or helping anybody. It's just about stepping back from your keyboard and going upstairs, being like talking to your whoever and saying, oh, guess what? I totally owned this person and I was right. And don't you think I'm great? Like it's a selfishly motivated undertaking. Would you say?
Well, yeah, it's somebody looking for an attaboy.
Yeah. Cause these people aren't then going out into the world and making a difference of any sort. They're just sitting in front of their computers, clacking away on a keyboard, trying to feel better about themselves, when the reason that they feel so shitty about themselves in the first place is probably because they're sitting in their basement, clacking away on their computer all day long.
This idiot, we were talking about, I don't want to get into the whole thing. We were talking about the Middle East situation. Uh-oh. And this guy said, well, that I'm doing nothing about the situation. And I said to him, what are you doing? And I said, what do you think either one of us is actually able to do to make any movement on the situation? He says, I go to protests in Hamilton.
Oh.
It's like, dude, you really think that makes any difference? All it does is get you together with other buddies. It's like a tailgate party for leftists or right wingers. That's all, you know, depends on the political thing. It's just a, it's just a tailgate party. It's just a, it's just a kegger for these people to get together and all of them to pat each other on the back and to get aroused that there's other people who think like them. So they're part of some group. They're not off on their own. But do you really think that any government in the Middle East looks at a protest in Hamilton, Ontario, and says, well,
man, those guys in Hamilton really changed my mind.
Yeah, we really better check, you know, because what we've been doing, we didn't think about in advance. And
this hasn't been going on for any time. This is all fresh.
Yeah, we, that guy in Hamilton, Mike, he's made some good points on
bring
Twitter.
Him in. We need to bring him in on this next caucus here.
Yeah, you know, governments like the United States have only limited influence what goes on in the Middle East.
Right.
These guys think that by protesting, it does nothing except give them an erection. It does nothing. It accomplishes nothing. Zero. Because if world opinion mattered, lots of things in the world would be different than they are now. And also, world opinion is easily shaped by, again, throwing out stories that appeal to the feels, because when you're talking about, when you're arguing on an emotional level, you're not arguing on a practical level, on a realistic level. You're just arguing about how you feel. And you know what? There's no arguing. How you feel is how you feel. But your feelings are based on things that are not factual. But they don't want to hear facts. They just want to talk about their feelings.
Amen. Ed, listen. I'm going to piss myself. I got to take a break.
What?
I'll be right back. Hold on. I can't hold it anymore.
Why the hell doesn't he go before we go? Like, what has he got? The bladder of a six-year-old? How does he not get himself? Why doesn't he urinate before we do this show? Instead, I got to sit here killing time while Anthony, he of the water rower and the Vinsanity workout plan that he got ripped off for, and then the weighted belts that he bought to exercise on, and that Anthony apparently can demonstrate all kinds of discipline when it comes to doing exercise every day, but he can't discipline his bladder. Instead, he runs off to take a whiz while we're doing an actual show. And I could just stop and pick the thing up like it never happened. Could have just, you know, stopped when he had to go to the bathroom, edited it and picked it back up so nobody knew. But you know what? I don't want to do that. First of all, it's more work than it's worth. Secondly, I want people to be aware of what it is I'm dealing with here. Are you back?
That was close. Sorry about that.
Why don't you put on Depends if you're that incapable of holding your bladder for an hour?
It's unbelievable, man. I don't know what it is. I think I'm taking in too much liquid on a daily basis. I think my Giada has been like, drink more water. And I listened to her, and there's been a couple of times where we've been doing some deliveries or whatever here and there. And I've literally had to like pull over in the downtown and just like find somewhere to go, like leave the car.
Like an alley?
Like an alley. Like I've had to, I haven't had a drink in like almost 2 years, and that's the kind of shit I used to have to do when I was drinking too much. And now I don't drink anymore. And I think, okay, everything, all that behavior is, all the negative behavior that came along with that is probably gone, except for the pissing in alleys in the middle of the day. That's happened to me a couple of times, and I'm sorry. The funniest one is I found my way as a kind of around the corner. And then this, just as I was zipping up, this couple went by on bicycles, and I just had to give them an awkward, like, sorry, and then ran back in the car and drove away. But it's awful. I don't know. Maybe I have a bladder infection.
Have you had your prostate checked lately?
Not by a doctor.
I don't want to know about your hobbies. Have you had a medical professional check your prostate recently?
No, I've never had a medical professional check my prostate.
If you check your own prostate, do you wash your hands after?
Typically, yes.
What do you mean typically? This is what you gave me last week, typically. How would you not wash your hands if you're sticking your finger up your ass?
Of course. But I will be, in the interest of complete full disclosure here, I do not give myself prostate exams. That's never happened.
All right. I don't want to go there.
Okay. We can move on. We could talk about the far more child star Ricky Schrader or Schroeder.
Oh, that idiot.
I guess
you don't know who he is, do you?
Well, the headline reads former child star. Shouldn't it just read some guy?
Like, well, no, because the news hook is not that he's some guy. It's like some guy that people used to know.
But what's the difference? I don't know who he is. For me, it
but there's a lot of people who do know who he is. Or wondering, what's that Ricky Schroeder, cute little Ricky Schroeder, been up to?
I haven't even heard of the show that he was on.
Silver Spoons?
Silver Spoons. I don't have ever heard of that.
It was a sitcom in the Miami. 80s. I never watched it. I'm aware of it. I'm aware of him. He got his start in a tearjerker movie, I think, about a down-and-out boxer, I think, called The Champ. I might be wrong. Rocky? He was this cute little blonde ragamuffin kind of guy, and everyone fell in love with him. And then he got a sitcom, Silver Spoons, which I don't know how many years it ran, enough to make an imprint on pop culture for those who were alive back then. Then he was on NYPD Blue as a cop for a while.
It was 4 years.
Was it 4 years he was there?
The funny thing is, you type in Silver Spoons, and all you get is like Amazon links or like literal Silver Spoons. Sorry, what's it say here? NBC 82 to 86.
All right, 4 years. That's a good run for a sitcom. And now apparently he's a right-wing douchebag. He helped put up the bail for, you know, that guy Kyle Rittenhouse, who opened fire on sort of anti-Trump protesters, basically anti-racism protesters. He opened fire and killed someone. Ricky Schroeder helped put up his bail.
That's insane.
For a long time, he tried to get people to call him Rick Schroeder, but it never stuck. It was always Ricky Schroeder.
He'd be Ricky forever. I mean, they always say that, like, people who are stars, like child stars, like almost unwaveringly end up with like issues when they get older.
There's very few that have. I think one of the few that didn't was Ron Howard.
Yeah, he seems to be the only one that kept it together. I mean, if you anybody really, Macaulay Culkin, Drew Barrymore, like any of these people, they always
Drew Barrymore came out the other end though. She did.
She's been working on herself. She's been working on herself, and she's gotten. I think I heard her on Howard Stern, or I heard her talk to somebody, and she saw some shit, man. Like, she went through a lot of shit. Like, she was like a drug addict when she was 13. Eight. Yeah, fucking crazy.
Well, it's in her family. She's got a famous acting family, and they were all drunks.
Okay, bunch of drunks then. But she seems like, even her personality is still pretty quirky, and she's kind of over the top. Like, just like her baseline is pretty over the top, personally. I think when I hear her talk, I'm like, you sound like you're like intentionally trying to sound like you're, you know, those people that are excited about even the smallest shit. Like, I clipped my toenails. That's amazing. Oh, my God. Like, that kind of shit where it's like, why are you so excited all the time? Like, really? Yeah. But
well, that's a Hollywood thing.
Like, it's a Valley thing, maybe. I don't know.
Well, exactly. It's show business. It's putting on all the schmaltz. It's putting on all the glitz. It's putting on all the bullshit.
All the time. So I don't know. You just want people that, you know, see if they, but anyways, I think that she's overcome a lot, and she sounds like she's like constantly working on herself and trying to not, you know, let her past define her. And she went on to have a pretty successful career. I mean, as far as child stars are concerned, I think she's doing pretty well. I mean, look at, you know, she's done a lot of movies in her adulthood that are fantastic, and she's funny. And 50 First Dates was pretty good. I like that movie. And other stuff that she's been in, but okay. So this guy, you got a Drew Barrymore who's like pretty much got it together. Then you have Ricky Schroeder who's shouting at people in a parking lot about, but you were talking about being misinformed. This is a perfect example, because his whole point was that Costco said no more masks, and that's what he stuck on to. But the actual story was that I think certain states said if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask in a different part of the country. But this particular Costco being in California, The representative from Costco said the mandate in California has not changed and we're following, working with local laws and stuff like that. So he was just basically, he nitpicked one fact that worked for his narrative and used that as the truth, but then scaled it back and said, oh, I'm trying to make a point about the corporate overlords. And I'm sorry, but your feelings aren't as important as my statement on the corporate overlords. It's like, holy fuck, bud. Like, quit Twitter. Jesus Christ. It's enough.
Speaking of celebrities.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow's up to it again.
Oh, no. No, she isn't. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow, the woman who released a candle from her Goop line of products called This Candle Smells Like My Vagina.
Yeah.
Another one that said, this one smells like my orgasm.
Right.
This is 100% true. If you haven't heard this before, this is true. This is where truth is stranger than fiction comes in. Well, now she's released a double-sided wand vibrator.
Double-sided?
Double-sided wand vibrator.
Yeah. Okay. Wand, like a
it's magical got, wand. It looks a bit like a hand microphone. You know, so it's like, it's sort of like a handle and then a ball at the top.
Double-sided wand vibrator. Here it is. Oh, yeah. It looks like a PlayStation 4 controller. Like
yeah, something like that.
I love the photos they have. They kind of have it sort of like leaning up against this sort of squiggly line. It's all very...
If you scroll down, if you're looking, look up goop.com. Look up
I'm looking vibrator. At it. I got it.
There's
got
a it. Picture of the thing going into water. And on either side of it are two curious goldfish.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is not, I see it kind of, do you see the photo of it kind of leaning up like haphazardly on a sort of a plinth type thing?
Yeah, but scroll down.
Scroll down.
You'll see, they show it plunging into a thing of water while two confused, curious goldfish look on. The choice of fish, the choice of fish imagery
kinda on the nose.
When, yeah, that's very, very unfortunate. There's another picture where it's with a bunch of lollipops.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend using a lollipop for this kind of thing. They get very sticky. what I like is where, you know, they're giving a review. The truth is, what does it say? Hang on. We'd be lying if we said that using the vibrator gives us a sensation we thought it would. The truth is, it still shocks us. Oh, probably an electrical current problem.
Don't use it in the bathtub.
If you're getting shocks from it, probably malfunctioning. The page says, we've tried a lot of vibrators. This one packs serious power and delivers deep pleasure. Can you imagine the Goop offices?
Who's this copywriter? Oh, my God.
A bunch of women sitting there with their legs open, trying different vibrators with a clipboard, marking down little clarifications. Others going around sniffing candles to see if it smells like Gwyneth's vagina.
Let's get Gwyneth back in here. Get her up in the chair. We need to test this for accuracy. Like,
and you know, it was somebody on Twitter said when we talked about Gwyneth's candle that it was misogynistic. It's like, why is it misogynistic? This is the person who put out this product.
Yeah.
We're not making fun of her because she's a woman.
No.
We're because it's
I'm making fun of her because she's a fucking narcissist.
Yeah.
We're making fun of her.
Yeah. And I said, if a guy had done the same thing, we'd make fun of the guy the same way. Like if Brad Pitt put out, my jizz smells terrific.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. My cum tastes like vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this
scented candle.
This sleeping mask smells like my ball sack.
Yeah. These tea bags taste like my tea bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Like these tea bags have hair on them. If he put out something like that, it would be just as ridiculous. And we'd be poking fun at the very same thing.
Yeah. And it's not a gendered criticism because she's a woman putting it out. It's the fucking hubris of it. It's ridiculous. Why would you think that anybody would want a candle that smells like your private part, whether it's a dong or not, or a vagina? Like, why? I don't understand the thought process. It's just super ego going out of fucking control, thinking that your brand and that your clout as an actress are so big that anybody would want a candle that smells like your fucking vagina. It's ridiculous.
Her daughter is 17 years old.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to be the daughter whose mother walks around selling products that smell like her vagina?
I mean,
like, does she have to think about the shame that she brings on her children? Though her kid is probably born and lives in the same exact bubble.
I mean, you were talking earlier about people being brainwashed from birth. I think maybe that was offline, but anyways, you were mentioning that. I think this is one of those cases where she probably doesn't see anything wrong with it, because if you have, you know, I remember the first time I saw Saving Private Ryan and I hadn't become desensitized to movie violence yet, and it was shocking. It was horrifying. But now if I watch Saving Private Ryan, I'm like, oh yeah, there's that guy watching, you know, running across the beach with his leg. It's got to be the same thing. She's probably completely desensitized, because if you're with Gwyneth Paltrow 100% of the time, you're not going to think it's weird.
Well, if you can stand her,
yeah,
a lot of the time, then chances are you are not far from being her. Because if you're in touch with humanity, there's no way you could put up with Gwyneth Paltrow's narcissism.
At some point, you're going to realize something's off here.
Yeah, like after meeting her and she says, here, would you like a lollipop? It smells like my taint.
there's some gum in the middle, so just keep chewing. And that's going to be something else.
Yeah, it's and I'm pretty sure she's one of those Hollywood types that bleaches her asshole.
I don't know. The jury's out on that. I guess we'll find out. Maybe she'll come out with her own line of asshole bleach.
Why doesn't she? It's useful. You can use it to whiten your teeth.
Whiten your teeth.
Or your asshole.
It's
dual purpose.
Nothing will kill your vibe like your vibrator battery dying in the heat of the moment. Which is why we designed an LED battery display into ours. Each light indicates 15 minutes of time left on the clock. There's four 15-minute intervals on a... One light means you have 15 minutes. And crucially, you don't need batteries. You just use the charging port. Okay, so there's 15-minute intervals. Who's lying on their back for an hour with a vibrator?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. I guess, yeah, they tested it. That was the
market
research.
Something funny? Years ago, you ever heard of the AVN Awards?
Adult Video Network, right?
Yeah, they're the porn awards.
Porn awards.
And they take place, funnily, they take place in the same building at the same time as the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh, CES, okay.
So what's funny is you have a bunch of guys from like Best Buy and places like that who are going to the Consumer Electronics Show who try to sneak in to the porn awards.
The audience is right next to the stars.
But we went to both. We covered both one year.
Now, where is down in California, I'd assume?
Yes, in LA. Now, the AVN Awards is the cap off of a few day sex show where they show off porn products of people who run the, you know, the greasy dudes who run the porn stores. They can go in and sample new products that are coming out and stuff. You know,
so here's,
it's like any
here's
other, like, it's like any other consumer. Retail consumer show for wholesalers, right?
For sex toys. So it's like if you want Asa Akira's like butthole, you can like buy it in a mold and sell it to somebody.
But you find that it's available.
Right. Yeah.
There was this one place. They were a Chinese company.
Yeah.
They didn't speak very much English. Okay. They had a. It was not a vibrator. It pumped. Like a piston,
like a like this is like a knockoff of a Swedish made penis pump, like from
it was electric.
So it pumped. It was like a robot.
It was like a jackhammer.
I feel like I've seen a video of that, like in passing, like where it's like someone's just kind of on a table and they just
there was no person there. They were just there. Now here's the thing: in order to power it, it came attached to a briefcase.
Like, okay.
And you open up the briefcase and it looks like the inside of like some $6 million man episode from the 70s showing what a portable computer would look like.
Oh, so there's knobs and like a little
stuff all over
like a screen on it and stuff.
Yeah. It's like it looked like a toy from the 70s.
Like an amp meter
but
or something.
The battery was in there.
Okay.
Because the battery's heavy.
It's got to be big. I mean, how long ago was this?
This is a few years ago now. But the guy was all excited and he kept turning up the power until the thing was going literally like a jackhammer. like it would hurt a woman or a guy using it in his rear compartment.
Whoever chose to use it, whatever orifice you pick,
that it would bloody hurt. But also, who wants to be using that while you're attached to an open briefcase?
It sounded like a guy walking through with like a handcuff. Like, you know, you see the guy carrying $1 million in the briefcase, but this was like. So were there different attachments, like for varying degrees of difficulty? Like say, like maybe for the first timer, there'd be something sort of like, I don't know.
No, the first timer was you just start on a low speed.
It's like was there an Infinity Gauntlet attachment or like a Hulk Smash attachment, like giant?
This is before those movies came out.
Okay, but those still existed in the comics.
Yes, but no. these Chinese gentlemen from this company didn't appear to be acquainted with that form of American pop culture.
Fair enough.
But I can't imagine this is like something you'd find in the Soviet Union back in the day, you know, like some big clumsy mechanical thing.
Like some sort of like, what do they call it? Like a lie detector type thing on the go.
Yeah. Like spycraft, almost. Like the women who were in our crew were like cringing. The more he turned the power up, and he was getting really excited. Oh, look. He got very, very excited.
Yeah.
Like really animated. He was really reserved. Then he got really animated. And the thing was like shaking the table.
Maybe he was just happy it worked.
But to walk around with a briefcase, aren't these things supposed to be somewhat portable and candid?
Clandestine, perhaps. Yeah. This was like an early computers.
Something that would fill up a room. It was like the VIC-20 of dildos. Like it was disturbing.
Did it? So at least it was battery powered. I mean, you just imagine the guy having sort of like a generator.
No, it had a plug option.
Oh, there's a plug option.
It was an AC plug option.
Well, it's a good thing it wasn't like a two-stroke. Like you'd have to fire it up like a lawnmower to get it going.
That was their previous model. This was the Mark II, going back, it had a hand crank like the old Ford Model T's.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know if they stole any of these things. Everyone went by, kind of amused and horrified, but I don't think anyone bought one.
Gas-powered sex toys.
No, it wasn't gas-powered. It was electrical-powered.
I'm just seeing if they exist. Yeah, there's one.
There's one powered by gas?
Sex toys, a short version of a rather long history. Core 77. Yeah, I'm looking up, right? Like, all kinds of... They're super steampunk. Like, they're obviously from, like, the turn of the century, like, Industrial Revolution styles. You should take a look at some of these things.
It's like those medical museums that store medical instruments and show them from like 100 and 200 years ago. Some things are just too scary.
They look like torture devices. This thing looks like something you'd have, you know, that's something that might power a small train. It's got like chain drive. And at the end of it is there's this red plastic. Well, obviously phallus, this fucking old school plasticky looking dog.
Like, it depends how far back that goes. Plastic is a relatively new innovation.
Okay. Well, maybe it's, I don't know what it's made of, but it's definitely a different color than the rest
of
the thing.
Might be wood.
This thing's got like a little compressor on it and a gauge, like it goes up to 100 or something like that. And there's all kinds of wiring, and it appears to be powered like alcohol powered or gas. There's pistons involved. Just type in gas powered sex toys and look at what comes up. Is it core77.com? I don't know if you can see what I'm seeing.
Gas powered sex toys.
Gas powered.
Okay, you at home do this too.
Yeah, everybody.
Gas powered sex toys.
Yeah. If you find the image of
the
one.
Is this 23 profoundly disturbing photos?
No, I just went into images.
Oh, you went into images?
Along the top, yeah.
Because there is Google. There's a thing here from BuzzFeed. 23 profoundly disturbing photos of homemade sex machines. Images.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. I got it.
Oh, yeah, this.
Oh, my.
I see the one you're talking about.
It
looks like an old sewing machine.
Are you looking at that?
And that's rubber. That's not plastic. That's hard rubber.
Okay, hard rubber. You see the one? But no, I went to the BuzzFeed article. Do you see the first picture on that BuzzFeed article? It looks like it's sitting in a classroom. Like, why would this be in a classroom?
To teach people what not to do.
Yeah. Well, maybe perhaps this is. Look, kids. We tried the dunce cap. We really, really don't want you to be talking during class time.
Oh my God! This one looks like the one you're talking about. It looks like it's got the shape of an old film projector.
It's like steampunk
with gauges on it. Yeah, and it sticks out, and then there's this approximation of a penis on it. I don't even know how. Like, how would you? It's raised into such a position. Yeah, and I don't. How would you actually use such a
thing? I guess the stand was optional. Maybe you'd have to have your strongest friend hold it for you. I don't. It looks like maybe you could table mount it. You certainly couldn't floor mount it. That would be too far down.
Yeah,
you'd have to put it on a chair, maybe.
After all that work, imagine people saying, it's not the right height. Back to the drawing board.
It was the beginning of the downfall of Western civilization, of being spoiled. I couldn't get it the right height.
People filed patents.
Oh, my God. Did you see the other ones? This one looks like it's super refurbished.
There's one that looks like, oh, wow. I can't even just, it's spring-loaded.
Okay.
It looks a bit like, you know, the arms
spring-loaded, like you
that you use on microphones when you're attaching them to a desk, the big arm comes and bends and stuff. It looks like that, but with a penis on the end. And then there's one picture of this thing that looks like a bit of an ottoman, but made of purple plastic. And there's the penis that pops out when if you're sitting on it, it pops out to fit your nether regions. And then there's one on the end, which is just a metallic thing that you can use in a different position. But the best thing is there's a male-female couple sitting on the couch.
The look on the guy's face is like, this has come to replace me.
Yeah, the look on the guy's face is, guys, now my friends know what goes on in my house.
Yeah. If you're wondering why I'm free this weekend, here's the answer.
All right.
Of course, I can come over. Yeah. Hey. Oh my God. And look. Holy shit. This
one's. Yeah, it's pretty frightening. I hope you guys check it out. BuzzFeed.
Check it out.
23 homemade sex machines.
Did you see this one that's in this guy's garage? He's like on his side working on it.
I closed it. I couldn't take it anymore.
It's just like a fucking slap together chair, and the chair. It looks like an Archbishop throne, but like super basic. And it's just, got a dick sticking up through the bottom of it. Like, and this guy's
like, that's the thing. All these things have all these gears and mechanisms and stuff. And at the end, it's all the same. It's just a dick.
It's just a rubber cock at the end of each one of it. It's so funny. Oh my God. Yeah. Check it out. Maybe we'll, I see the one I'm looking through. Okay. Here's one that's kind of like a coffin, shaped like a coffin. And it's just got a dick sticking out of it. So crazy.
Those are for goth women.
I guess so. Yeah. If you're into Dita Von Teese or whatever.
I met her. You know that?
She seems like she'd be nice in real life.
She was a very nice woman. We met her. Leanna and I met her when shooting a piece in LA. We shot at a place called Trashy Lingerie.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And they were trying on like lingerie and stuff. And she was a lovely woman.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm distracted right now because if you kept going down on that BuzzFeed article, there's one that's literally Johnny Five from Short Circuit, and his arms are taped together. There's a dildo on the end of it.
Johnny Five is alive.
It's the entire Johnny Five, like right down to the tank tracks and the everything, like perfect reproduction, just with a dildo on the end of it. Oh my God.
You imagine that. Like, you know, those inventors.
Yeah.
That spend a lot of time in their garage working on something, you know, the grease on their head and stuff, and they're working and working. Imagine
goggles
coming out and like your neighbor saying, "What are you working on? Here, come take a look."
Yeah.
Want to take it for a spin?
Oh my God. That's fantastic. Yeah, we should link this article in the description so people.
Yeah, what is it? I tried to look it up again. I tried to look up BuzzFeed homemade sex toys.
23 profoundly disturbing photos of homemade sex machines in America.
Let me try that.
A literally long title for an article.
Yeah, there you go. 23. I just put 23 disturbing homemade sex machines and it pops up.
There you go. Yeah. So we'll get that. People can check it out.
I'm worn out now.
Yeah, this is fun. I like this.
All right.
What do you think? Is that a good place to call it, or do you want to?
I don't know how we can. I don't know how do you follow that up.
How are you going to top that?
Yeah, I guess we'll bring it to a close then.
All right.
So those of you out there, go, because at this point they're stopped listening and they're looking at this thing on the internet anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we're doing a lot of free advertising for a lot of different websites and a lot of different stuff. So
I don't think that there's any great market for this particular page of the website.
Maybe this corner of the internet is probably pretty well saturated as it is. It doesn't need any help.
Well, it looks like the people would be well saturated, all right.
I'd say so, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Ed the Sock, on Indiegogo, Ed_the_sock. Find me on Facebook. There's an Ed the Sock page. You can find Anthony wandering around waiting for his salon to open.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'll be in Etobicoke wandering around.
Yeah, just walk around Etobicoke and listen for the sound of water swishing. And that'll be him on his expensive water-powered rowing machine.
I'm the power. The water is just the solution.
Oh, Anthony.
Or something.
I don't know. All right. I think you should stay off Amazon for a while.
Probably should. Yeah.
Yeah. No more
quit
browsing.
Twitter. I should probably quit Amazon. It's gonna go broke before we get open again.
Yeah. Don't do that anymore. All right. I'm tired out. So we're gonna go, Anthony Howell. Thank you.
Yep.
And I'll just use this sign off, my old sign off. I'd rather be a smartass than a dumbass. I'm Ed the Sock. Thank you for listening to Ed the Sock. Oh, wait.
What?
You made a jingle.
I made a sting.
It's more of a jingle.
Is it?
It's longer, so it's more of a jingle.
What do you mean? Are you talking about the thing for the emails?
Yeah.
It's not a jingle. There's no, a jingle would be like Fabric Land. That's a jingle. This is just a, hey, everybody. This is basically just to keep us from forgetting to tell people to email. We're just going to post it at the top and the bottom of each show so that we don't have to remind ourselves to do it. And so
it's not going at the top of the show. Nobody will listen after this.
You got to... What? No, you
got to
go
at the end of the show.
You got to put it at the top. Because
no, the top of the show, people won't listen.
Well, what if they don't make it to the end? Then what do? We put it halfway between?
I'll put it halfway, but I won't put it at the start.
Okay, we'll put it either
halfway. Next week, it'll go halfway.
Well, we'll put it. You could probably tack it onto this episode.
No, I'm not going to have us all of a sudden talking and then stop. And then there's this thing apropos of nothing. And then we come back.
Well, no. Just tack it on after this part.
Well, like I'm going to tack it on at the end. Yeah.
Tack it on at the end this week.
Yeah, let's listen to it.
Do you have it?
No. I'm saying let's listen to it and everybody imagine.
Okay. So you're going to. Wait a minute. I'm confused.
Shut up for a minute.
Am I supposed to stop talking and then you're going to play it? And
this if only you would. Yes.
Okay.
Quiet.
Here at Ed the Sock Lives, we care about our listeners. And that's why we want to hear from you. Send us your comments, questions, random thoughts, credit card information, social insurance number, or anything else you think we can use as material on the show. Ed@edthesock.com. Ed@edthesock.com. That's ed@edthesock.com. Look forward to hearing from you.
All right. My prediction?
Yeah.
Zero emails as a result of that.
Hey, you know what? I had a lot of fun making that. So at the end of the day,
I'm glad there was something that came out of it because nobody's going to listen to that and say, you know what? I really should email. I predict zero emails.
How many credit card numbers do you think we're going to get?
As many as we'll get emails.
Right. And we, okay then. Well, we'll follow up.
See. Is there anything else pointless you want to devote your time to?
No, I think I'm good for today.
All right. Well, you go get rowing with your weight belt on you and stuff for resistance.
I'll keep you. Oh, that's right. I can use my weighted vest on my water. See, it all works together. It's like a puzzle. It all fits together.
I'm puzzled. All right. Okay. That's it. The end of the show. Goodbye, Anthony.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.